business. They say that cash is king. Forget profit. If you don't keep an eye on the cash flow, you could be out of business in very quick order. Well, as it turns out, it's not a lot different in our personal finances. Way too many people let their hard-earned cash just slip through their fingers.
Hi, I'm Bertie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective, as we're joined again by Alex Cook, a man with a passion to help you manage your money effectively. Alex, great to have you on the program again this week.
Thanks for having me back, Bernie.
Now, mate, you run an organisation called Wealth with a Purpose, which is about what?
Well, it's about helping people manage their money wisely, and in particular, manage their money according to biblical principles. Because what we know is that the biblical principles, when we adopt them into our day-to-day finances, help you, if you like, live a very financially free life.
Yeah, it's easy to say. Right?
It is.
But many of us feel like we have holes in our pockets. What are some of the things that we need to take back in control to manage the flow of cash through our personal finances?
Yeah, well, I'll start by giving a scripture, actually, because this will really set the scene.
Yeah, Christians are always quoting the Bible. I don't know. Fair dinkum.
Well, this one's a great one from Luke chapter 14. It says this. It says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it?" Mm. Now, that's very, very sensible advice. And really, what it's saying is you need to know how much things cost and how much your life actually costs to run. So what I always encourage people to do, firstly, is to do a budget. And a budget is simply just a tool. And what it does is it shows you how much money is coming into your house, so your wages and so forth, versus how much money is going out. And hopefully that's a surplus.
Yeah.
Because if you're in deficit, then clearly, you know, you're starting to rack up debt and so forth and getting yourselves into financial difficulty. So the first thing is having that budget and learning and becoming aware of where your money is, where you're spending it, what you're spending it on, whether you're spending too much in some areas, too little in other areas, and really just thinking it through and making a plan. So that's the first thing.
It's interesting. I was sitting with someone recently and we were doing a bit of a budget for them. And we just looked at how much money they spent on coffee and lunches, right? Just coffee and lunches. And when we added it up for the week, they were appalled with how much money was just running through their fingers.
Mm. It's amazing. I've done it for myself, and I was absolutely staggered. We're talking, you know, four-figure sum over the course of a year. Mm. It was just staggering how much money goes in those sort of things.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that budgeting helps you do, because it brings to light things, and you think, oh, really? This surely is a better way of doing that.
And that's not how I want to spend my money.
Yeah.
If you don't know, well, you're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And, of course, it's eating into your future when you're spending money on things you shouldn't.
Okay. So first thing is to do a budget. What comes next?
The second thing I say to people is to try and automate your finances. Okay. Mm-hmm. And by that, I really mean saying, okay, we know how much money is coming in each month, and we want to then direct it according to a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. So as Christians, we say we want to live generously with the money, okay? So the money, we acknowledge it's not ours. We're called to be stewards. So how do we live generously with it? So I say to people, with your budget, try and allocate the first 10% to God as a way of honouring God and giving glory to him. Now, that is not the limit. It's just, you know, a recommended starting point. I don't believe in having a legalistic rule around these sort of things.
Good on you. Otherwise, I'd boot you out of the studio. Hey, listen, James L. Kraft, the guy that started the Kraft Food Empire, once said this. He said, "I don't believe in tithing, but I guess it's not a bad place to start."
When you reflect on Jesus' teaching, I think Jesus, throughout the New Testament, is really calling us to a higher standard in everything.
Yeah.
In marriage, you know, in the Old Testament, you could send your wife away with a certificate of divorce. But in the New Testament, it's very different picture. It's, you know, only the only reason grounds for divorce is marital unfaithfulness. Mm. And so I think it's the same principle with our money. Jesus is actually calling us to a higher standard. And so I don't think that standard is capped at 10%.
Now, we're not just tipping God. Mind you, in the US, you've got to tip 15 or 20% now, right? It's not just tipping God, right?
Well, funnily enough, when you talk about tithing in the Old Testament, people think it was only 10%. A lot of people today, it was actually over 23% because there were three tithes that we know about, and some scholars I've even heard argue think there are more than that, but we know there are three, totaling over 23%, and I don't think there's too many Christians today giving 10%, let alone 23%.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, so as I said, automating your finances, I think, is the thing. So we want to send the money off in different directions according to a set purpose. So first is giving to God. The second thing is you need to save for the future, okay? Now, that could be for your kids' expenses, for their schooling. It could be saving for the day when you cease work and that day comes to all of us, be it, you know, ill health or redundancy and so forth. And then you leave the remaining portion for your everyday expenses. Now, as you get pay increases and your circumstances change, then you may want to give more, you may want to save more, and ideally your living expenses on a day-to-day basis actually reduce.
Yeah.
As a percentage of your spending.
What about the physically managing accounts? Should a couple have separate accounts, same accounts? How many bank accounts should we have? What do you advise people?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. To deal with a couple issue first and foremost, I believe couples should have joint accounts in most circumstances. Not all, but in most, simply because it's transparency and it's sort of acknowledging that the money is not either his or hers, mm-hmm. but it's ours for stewarding for God. So having joint accounts, I think, is very important. There are some exceptions. If someone's come from, say it's a second marriage and the first marriage broke down due to distrust and unfaithfulness and all those sort of things. Some people can be, you know, we're very affected by those sort of things and therefore you need to rebuild the trust before you do that. So I think there are circumstances where you need to be, you know, a bit reasonable about it. The other thing though is how many accounts should you have? I believe in what I call the KISS theory, keep it simple, silly. Okay. And by keeping
it
simple.
In the army, we used to call it keep it simple, stupid.
So keep it simple. So I would suggest that you have no more than 2 to 3 accounts.
Yep.
One account should be your emergency fund.
Yep.
Where you put money aside, and I say to people they should try and put 6 months worth of living expenses. Now, for
wow.
a lot of people, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But the stats show that in many countries, most people are broke within 4 to 6 weeks of losing their job because they don't have money saved. And that puts enormous pressure on people and on relationships. So 6 months worth of living expenses in a bank account. Mm. That's your first account.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, your everyday account. Okay. So your everyday account is just for, you know, your rent, your mortgage and day-to-day spending. And then the last account can be your combination of your giving to God account or your long-term planning account. So long-term saving for the future, for, as I say, your kids' education and so forth. So that's a simple way to do it, but no more than really 2 to 3. This is not about complicating it. And for some people, depending on how well they manage it, they may only need one account. For others, where they're not so good with it, they need to put it out of sight, out of mind, and have it separate and isolated, if you like, so they don't spend it.
I reckon you said it depends on how well you manage it. I reckon a lot of people just simply don't manage it.
I would say probably, in my experience, probably 80% to 90% of people struggle.
So there's a very clear message that I'm getting from what you've been saying is that we need to get on the front foot. We need to get proactive about, if we're serious, if I say I believe in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
if I say that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that God comes first, then one of the things we need to get serious about is the purpose of our wealth.
Mm.
To get serious about that, we really need to know what's happening with the money.
Exactly right. I mean, there's no way you can have an eternal perspective for your money if you don't know where your money's going.
No.
It's just impossible. So, you know, budget, very simple tool to actually make you aware and to then help you to ask honest questions. Am I honouring God with my money?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Scary question, eh?
It is, but yeah. it's important.
Well, let me ask you, you're listening to this money expert here, Talk Away, Alex Cook. Are you honouring God with your money? Now, there's something to think about and there's something to pray about, eh?
Absolutely.
Life has its ups and downs, right? But Jesus made an extraordinary promise. He said that he came that we might have life in all its abundance. Literally, a superabundant life. Yet not everyone who believes in him is living that life. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Laying Hold of Your Abundant Life. Because come on, God's word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that he'll help you discover and live the abundant life that he has for you through this booklet. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.